Father, we thank you that there is a breaking in my favor, a shifting in my direction. As we respond now by faith, and as we sow a seed in the anointing, I declare over you right now the peace of God. You've been wondering where the next meal was going to come from. You've been wondering how you're going to pay that debt. You were wondering how you're going to pay those bills. We speak even right now that as you are faithful with the little, the Lord will increase you, that the Lord will raise you up, that you will enter into a place of true prosperity where you no longer just have enough to meet your need, but that you will meet the needs of others in Jesus' name. Receive that over you, over your family, and even that over your business in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now quickly, go to 2 Kings chapter 7. I want us just to stay in this atmosphere, for this is an atmosphere of breakthrough. This is an atmosphere of restoration, an atmosphere of divine recovery in Jesus' name. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1. Elisha said, listen to this message from the Lord. You watching, everyone in this place, listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver. And 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. Now keep in mind, this was where in a time where they were besieged, trapped inside of a city. There was great famine inside of the city walls. So much so that a cup of bird dung sold for many pieces of silver. Think about that. Bird dung sold for many pieces of silver. But then the word of the Lord comes to them via the prophet of God. By this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. The question is, and I know that this is something which was spoken of thousands of years ago and was then fulfilled, but if God were to speak a word to you right now and says to you, my son, my daughter, there is coming a 24-hour restoration, 24-hour recovery, how will you respond to that message from the Lord? That is the question. In other words, do you believe that God, number one, still speaks? Number two, that God is a God who can and still does make a promise. And that number three, that God is able to make good on every promise. That's the question. But listen to this, verse 2. The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. Think about that. The one closest to the king, it's almost like you can see him with his hand upon the shoulder of the king. The one closest to the king, the one that the king would rely upon, is the naysayer in the story. In other words, make sure that those who you allow close to you, those who you allow in within close proximity of you, are people who are of the same spirit. People who also have and operate based on the measure of faith that God has given to every man and every woman. People who speak life and not death. But Elisha then replied, well, you will see it happen. You will see it happen. But you won't be able to eat any of it. You see, from this portion of scripture, one derives this very important instruction, is that it is always important to expect a harvest, to take God at His word, for as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. seed time and harvest shall not cease. In other words, when you respond in that moment in time to sow a seed like you've just done, the harvest is sure to come. I've said this before, and I want to just say this again for the sake maybe of those who've never heard this before. It says seed time and harvest, not seed time and harvest time. And the reason for that is because there is an allocated time, a chronos time. In other words, it has to do with the ticking of the clock when you sow a seed. But the harvest is not bound by time. Did you get that? There are many people, once they've sown a seed, when they do not see the harvest within the expected chronos time, they are quick to go and dig up their seed. But God says, if you will allow this to take place in my divine time, then time is in fact no longer a factor. This means that you might say, well, 4 months until the harvest, but then God says to you, well, have a look again. Do you not see that your harvest has come? Do not think that even the seed you've sown just now is not able to produce a harvest for you even before the end of this next week. Or should I even say, within the next 24 hours. I'm not saying to you that 24 hours, I'm not putting a time or a limit on it. I'm simply saying to you, do not limit God. Do not limit God. For time is in His hands. In verse 3 it says, now there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked one another. We will starve if we stay here, but the famine in the city, we will also starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, well, we would have died anyway. Just think about that hopeless situation, the predicament that they were facing. They could have said to one another, we just have no option but to give up. Some might say that they were between a rock and a hard place, the point of no return. Yet they looked at one another and they said, no, let's make a plan. Let's rather go to the Aramean camp. And you know what? If they receive us, great, then we will live. At least we will have something until we wait for leprosy to take its course. But if they kill us, hey, we would have died anyway. Again, look at those who you surround yourself with. Those who do not speak the language of faith should not be entertained in your company. I'm not saying do not preach the gospel to sinners and people who do not know the gospel. I'm saying look at who you have speaking into your life. If the people who are speaking into your life, your friends, people who you surround yourself with, are not pushing you, nudging you towards greatness, towards the plan and purpose, or then the destiny that God has for you, by definition, then they are not your friends, but your enemies. Make sure that you surround yourself with people of faith. Since we are part of the household of faith, surround yourself with people then who speak the language of faith. And even right now, I just feel it in my spirit. There are those of you, you're facing a similar hopeless situation. A hopeless situation in the area of your health. And even right now, the love of God is coming into your home. The love of God is coming into your heart, as He's touching you now. You're facing a condition. Sickness has taken over your body. There is an illness that's running its course. A disease running rampant within you. Every condition of the blood. We curse every spirit that is operating in your life, operating in your body. And I see even right now that there is an essence almost in the spirit, a blood transfusion that's taking place. As that spirit of sickness and disease, of infirmity and death is cast out now in Jesus' name. Just receive this life. Life and life abundant that comes upon you right now. Whether it is hepatitis, whether it is any form of blood cancer, HIV, anything in the blood, even oxygen levels in the blood that has fallen drastically. Oxygen levels, we say, it will rise now in Jesus' name. Organs that were failing. Lungs, we say to you, open up now in Jesus' name. Kidneys begin to function optimally now in Jesus' name. The liver, pancreas, everything on the inside, all of your organs, we say to it now, function the way that God intended for it to function. You might say, well, I'm believing the Lord for a transplant. Even now we believe with you for a creative miracle to take place. A new heart, a new liver, in Jesus' name. Receive it. Receive it now. Receive it now in Jesus' name. As we declare over you, if you're surrounded by a loved one, or even in this place, where the doctor's report has been all but positive, the doctor has pretty much announced and pronounced a death sentence over you, or over that family member that's so dear to you. We pray right now as we declare that you will live and not die, and declare the goodness of God. For His goodness, His peace shall be your portion. As we speak now to every spirit of fear, anxiety, stress, everything that is trying to steal your peace, we speak to that now. And we say to it, be cast out now in Jesus' name. For His perfect love, even right now, casts out all fear. His perfect love in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, so at twilight they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they said to one another. So they panicked and they ran right into the night, abandoning their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. Listen to this. When the men then with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into the tent one after another, eating and drinking, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing, and they hid it. Finally, they said to each other, this is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. Can you again see that God is wanting to overflow your life so that you will be blessed to be a blessing? Even these lepers understood that what they were a partaker of and the way they were going about it was wrong. You cannot just have so much, an overflow of the goodness of God, and hide it. In other words, I have more than enough to share with everyone else, but I make the conscious decision to not share, to be selfish and hide it for a rainy day. They were convicted and they said, this is a day of good news. This is a day of rejoicing. For God has positioned us now where we are prosperous. Let us share this with others. So they said that this is not right. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let us go and tell the others about this, what had happened. So again, I want to say to you that God doesn't just want to meet your need. He is El Shaddai. He is the God of more than enough. He's the God of the overflow. And I see even right now, I hear the Lord say that there's good news coming to you and your family. Good news. I just hear the Lord saying, good news, good news. Good news is coming to you and your family. Even this week, I believe with you that you will receive an email, you will receive a text, you will receive a message. You will receive good, favorable news this week in Jesus' name. Oh, come on, someone needs to get excited about that. In the name of Jesus. Come on, someone, you need to appropriate it. You need to take it. Do not just be an onlooker. When the word of the Lord goes forth, you snatch it, you partake it, you take it, and you say, I appropriate it. It is mine by faith in the name of Jesus. Good news is coming to you and your house in the name of Jesus. So they went back to the city and they told the gatekeepers what had happened. We went out to the Aramean camp, they said, and no one was there. The horses and the donkeys were tethered and the tents were all in order, but there wasn't a single person around. Then the gatekeeper shouted the news to the people in the palace, and the king then got out of bed in the middle of the night. The scouts then, this is just sort of a paraphrase, the scouts then went out to go and investigate because he was concerned that it might be an ambush. But they reported back then, and then this is what happened in verse 16. Then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Aramean camp. 2 weeks ago, you heard me say this again, what happened with the Israelites when they had left Egypt. They plundered all of Egypt. They left with the wealth of Egypt. And also when they had left, there was not one feeble among them. Can you see again? They had rushed out and plundered the Aramean camp. So it was true that 6 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. And then what took place is, with all the rushing of the people wanting to come and be a partaker of the blessing, they trampled upon the officer, that one closest to the king, the one with the negative report. And just as was prophesied, he saw the blessing of God, but never had the privilege then to partake of the blessing. The word of the Lord goes forth. The question is, do you believe? Do you believe? You might say, well, I'm in a predicament. They were in a predicament. They were facing certain death, if not by hunger, by sword. Just as the lepers were facing a predicament. And yet they chose life. And so God again reminds us, will you choose life or will you choose death? That's ultimately the decisions we make. You say, Pastor Kevin, you're sounding very dramatic this morning. But that's essentially what it comes down to. Because God even says, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. I pray in the name of Jesus that you and your household will experience even now this week, even within the next 24 hours, divine restoration, divine recovery, divine turnaround in the name of Jesus. That even that which was inconceivable 24 hours ago will be your reality in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.